We will read now Psalm 128, Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel. As far as we read God's Word, may God bless the reading of His Word. It's the first three verses that we consider this morning as the text. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this psalm, in close connection with Psalm 127, teaches that nothing in this life is of any profit to anyone without the blessing of God. Psalm 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Without the blessing of the Lord, a man may receive from God intelligence and skill to build a house, to perform many other great works, to build a business, to gain riches and many possessions, but without the blessing of the Lord, all of that is vain. And the same is true of a spouse and of children. God may give to a man a wife and to a woman a husband. And He may give to them children. But if all of that is given without the blessing of God, it is vain. It is of no profit. We must have this firmly fixed in our minds. We need the blessing of God. We need the blessing of God for all of our work and labor here upon the earth. We need the blessing of God in our marriages. We need the blessing of God in our child rearing. But at the same time, the text teaches us another truth, another secret that we need to take very seriously. And that is that to be happy, one needs the blessing of God and the blessing of God alone. The text is not teaching this morning that one must have a very profitable business in order to be happy in life. And the text is not at all teaching that one must be married to be happy and blessed of the Lord. God does not say anywhere in Scripture, and He does not say here in this psalm, that He only blesses married couples. God blesses also single men and women. And thus, the God-fearing, believing single man, single woman, can find and does find blessing and happiness in the Lord Jehovah. So also, let the childless couple hear this morning that God does not teach that children are the key to happiness in life, and that without children it is impossible to have contentment, satisfaction, and fulfillment, or happiness. No, the God-fearing husband and wife who have no children also can and do find in God great blessing and peace and satisfaction. But we do note this morning that the psalm does speak about the family, God's institution of marriage in the family, where there's a husband and wife living together with children. And the text does speak of the blessedness of that for God's people. What a beautiful word this is. It tells us not only about the fact that it's necessary for a married couple to have God's blessing. That's necessary because, as the marriage form tells us, by reason of sin, our marriages and then also our families are subject to many miseries and sorrows. And in order to have happiness and peace, we need the blessing of God. But the text does more than tell us of the need of God's blessing. It's really a promise. It is a pronouncement that the God-fearing man with his wife and his family is blessed, is truly happy because the blessing of God is upon them. So let us consider this morning this text under the theme, Blessed Family Life. That's the subject of the text, Blessed Family Life, Happy Family Life. And there's three things we notice. It's structure. First of all, it's blessedness. Secondly, and then thirdly, our calling. Verse 1 identifies for us the individual and then also the family that is blessed by God. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. This is the center of the family structure. Fear for Jehovah God. This is the foundation of the God-blessed family. There must be fear for Jehovah God. Not every individual and every family, then, is blessed by the Lord. Those who have no fear for Jehovah, no love for Him in their hearts, those who do not walk in His ways and therefore by definition who walk in the ways of sin, for them there is no blessing from the Lord. No blessing of Jehovah upon them at all. And if you look at that family, you behold that family and you see many outward signs of prosperity. The Word of God teaches us that we must still say about the unbelieving man who may have that high-paying job, who may live in a big home with the new cars and all of the other things one's heart might desire, who may have a wife and may have children and may, from all outward appearances, have a nice family life. The Word of God says, this is God's Word, no blessing from Jehovah is upon that man and his family. No. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. Blessed are they, that individual, that family alone. No one else is blessed. But then, notice, blessed are all of them that fear God. God's blessing is not general. It's not common. It's particular. It's only for God's people, for God's elect, for those to whom God gives grace to have faith, to fear Him. But God's blessing is upon all of them. Not just some of them. Not just those in the church who fear the Lord, who have riches and health. And not only those who have received from God's hand a husband or a wife, and not only those who have received from God's hand children. Also those who live in poverty who fear the Lord are blessed by Jehovah. Also those who live in single life are blessed by Jehovah, who fear the Lord. Also those parents or husbands and wives who have no children who fear the Lord are blessed. Blessed is every home where the Lord is feared, whether there's one person or two people or maybe more living in that home. You see, the key to it all, the center, the foundation to this home is the fear of the Lord. The blessed family has a certain makeup, a certain structure. God is the center. God is the uniting factor in the blessed home and family. The husband, the father, he fears Jehovah. He loves the Lord. He believes in the Lord. This is the fear of faith. The fear of faith that says, I know that the Lord is God. I know that He is the Creator. I know that He is great and to be praised and acknowledged in all of my thinking and my ways. And this is the fear of humility and reverence. This is the fear of the knowledge that the Lord is holy, that He is righteous, that He hates all sin. This is the fear of the Lord that confesses and acknowledges sin. I am a sinner. I have no right to any fellowship and friendship with God. But then this is the fear of the Lord that trusts God for salvation. Not me. It's not of me. Salvation is of the Lord. In the Old Testament, it was looking ahead to the promise of Jesus Christ. He will be the one that pays for my sin. He is the one who will earn for me the righteousness that I need to stand before God. And then the fear of this man, of God, is the fear that leads him to serve God, to walk in His ways. He says, I will not walk in my ways according to my will, and not because it's a duty, not because God has a law in which He says, don't do this and do this, but out of amazement for what God has done in saving me, a sinner. In gratitude, in love, I will walk according to God's law, His ways. And then, ideally, this characterizes the wife and the mother and the children too, under the blessing of God. Psalm 128 is saying, this is the ideal and the reality experienced by God's people in many circumstances by God's grace. The home is centered on God. He is feared. He is acknowledged. He is believed, trusted, and worshipped. That's the God-blessed home. But now the text has more to say about how the blessed home is structured. Structured according to the pattern found in God's Word. The man in the family that wants to enjoy the blessing of God must pay attention to God's Word and to the structure that He has designed for the home and family. Foolish is the husband and wife who ignores God's will for marriage, who ignores God's will for parenting. Foolish they are because then they are pretending that God did not create marriage and that He did not create the family. And that therefore in marriage and in home life, they are free to do whatever they want to do. We need to examine ourselves, our behavior, our thinking and our behavior, and the way that we have structured our homes this morning. Do we believe that God created marriage and the family, and that He gives structure to these things? And are we living that out in our lives? If we see that we have been living not according to the will of God for the family, then we need to repent and commit ourselves to this. This is the pattern, the authoritative pattern for the God-blessed family. God then has something to say about the place of the husband here in the text in the family. That comes out when we compare verse 1 here to verse 2. Notice verse 1 speaks in the third person. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. And then there's a transition in verse 2 to the second person. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. And the reference there is to the husband and the father. And if you read through the rest of the psalm, you see that the psalm continues to speak directly to the man of the home. And the reason certainly is not to teach that he's the only one who is blessed by God, the only one that God has any interest in the home. No, we will see the wife and the children are well loved and blessed by God too. But why is it that God speaks directly to the man? And the answer is that God is treating the man as the head of the home. And the reason that God treats the man as the head of the home is because that's God's will for marriage, going back to the institution of marriage. Adam was created, then Eve. And because God's will for marriage is that the husband will be the head, the father will be the head of the home, God, when He's now speaking about a happy home life, is pointing out, and this is such a home. It's where the husband, the father, is the head and the ruler. Not as an autocrat, remember. Not as if he rules for himself to please himself, that means. But remember, this is the man who fears the Lord. He rules his family not for his own glory, for his own sake, but for God's glory, for God's sake. But then that comes, the text makes clear with the responsibility. Verse 2, thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. The meaning is, in that way. The husband is to rule his family, but also to care for his family. This is the purpose of his work, then. It's not to get ahead in life, to build a retirement account, to be able to build his dream home, and to be able to pursue whatever hobbies that he wants. But to serve the Lord by caring for his wife and his children, providing their needs. This is how serious it is that a man must work. He must work because he loves God and because he loves his wife and his children. And this is how serious the sin is that a man doesn't work. That he's lazy. Now notice I don't say how serious the sin is that a man, through his work, doesn't make enough to support his family. God in His providence may put a man in that circumstance where he needs the help and the assistance of the church. There's a benevolent fund. That's why a man works to support not only his family, but the poor too. But it is a serious sin if a man does not work. And we think perhaps right away of that passage in the New Testament that says if a man does not work, he does not eat. But there's another passage that every husband must take very seriously in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And that is that if a man does not provide for his own family, he's worse than a heathen or a publican. He does not, he shows by that, love God or his wife and his children. The idea is that the man who fears the Lord thinks this way: my family, my wife, my children, that's my greatest treasure after the salvation of my soul through Jesus Christ. His work is not more important to him than his wife and children. His softball league is not more important to him than his family. His golf league is not more important to him and his family. The blessed man who fears Jehovah says, a wife and children, these are God's gifts to me, to treasure. There is the wife then. God has given this man who is spoken of here in the psalm a wife. And there are three things to notice about this wife. The first, just briefly, notice the text doesn't address her. She's not the head of this home. That's not the recipe for a God-blessed, happy home, a woman who usurps authority over her husband. That's a recipe for misery and sorrow in the home. That's God's word. She is not the head, she is the helper to her husband. But notice, secondly, she is a fruitful vine. This does not refer now to the fact that she brings forth children only. That is part of the truth that the psalmist is teaching here. The husband enjoys life with his wife in that they bring forth offspring. That's certainly true. But the fact that she's a fruitful vine refers to the fact that she is alive, that she has spiritual life. Like her husband, she has been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, regenerated by His Spirit, and evident in her life then is the fruit of the Spirit. That's a fruitful vine. A woman who is busy in producing good works out of gratitude to the Lord, works of love in the home for her husband and her children and in the church, and even as she has opportunity to others in the world. This, especially, is the God-blessed home, where there is an equal yoke between husband and wife in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know, if a man is a believer, he fears the Lord, and his wife is an unbeliever, God is still going to save him. God is still going to bring him to eternal life. But his home life won't be the happy home life described here in Psalm 128. And we know too that a woman who marries an unbelieving man, if she's a believer who fears the Lord, who is saved by God's grace, she will be saved unto eternity. But her life won't be the happy life that is described here in Psalm 128, where there's unity in the faith, unity in fearing the Lord, where hearts are knit together in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a happy home. And the word to all of those who are of dating age and looking forward to marriage, the word is very clear. Seek men, seek women. A God-fearing, spiritually alive spouse. So this woman, she's a helper to her husband. She is a believing, God-fearing woman, a fruitful vine. Thirdly, notice that she is planted by the sides of the man's house. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Now right away, perhaps we're thinking, so now what does this say about the activity of the woman working outside of the home? Is there a rule here? Is there something that we need to say about forbidding women to do that? Well, the text speaks of the positive calling. And that needs to be understood by the husband and by the wife as they think about all of the activity of the wife. Her positive calling is to center her life around the home, to help her husband, if there are no children, to assist him in things that pertain to the running of that home, to assist him in things that pertain to his career too. She is to give her life to her husband to help him. And then when there are children, they too are to be the center of her attention. That cannot be neglected because of work. The husband and wife who are God-fearing understand that. That cannot be neglected either because of laziness. The positive calling is to be a fruitful vine in the home. Not just to be in the home as if this is what a God-fearing woman does. She stays at home all day doing nothing. Maybe talking on the phone, gossiping with friends, maybe spending all day on social networking sites. No, the New Testament speaks of a keeper at home, one who is busy in the home, doing the dishes, doing the cleaning, doing the cooking, and all of those things, but doing all of the other things too for the spiritual care and assistance of her husband and her children. The God-fearing man and wife then will make every decision about the activity of the wife in the home and out of the home from that point of view. This is her God-given place. This is her high calling, to center her life around the family. Then children have a place too. They, verse 3, are described as olive plants, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. One thing that is clear from that description is that the children that God gives are gifts. They are blessings. In Israel, the olive tree was a very important tree. And the little olive plants that would shoot up from the roots of a mature olive tree were considered to be very valuable, not to be despised. The Word of God is saying to you and me once again this morning, in a world where children are viewed as obstacles and hindrances, where they are hated, children are a precious gift from God. Little olive plants. But another thing to notice about those olive plants is that from the time that an olive plant shoots up to the time that it reaches maturity to produce olive oil is about 15 years. The olive plant needs the care. It needs the nurturing, attentive care of the farmer. Needs to be fed and watered. Needs to be weeded and protected by the farmer. That's God's place for the children in the home. To be subject to their parents as unto the Lord God. And to be nurtured and cared for physically and spiritually. We need to know they're not mature. They're tender. They need instruction. They need protection. They're not ready to make their own decisions. They're not ready to deal with their sinful natures on their own. They're not ready to deal with the temptations of the devil and the world on their own. Foolish is the farmer who says, my olive plants don't need my care. Foolish is the parent who says, my children don't need my guidance and care. Well, now we know this morning there's probably not anyone foolish enough to say that. But sadly, there are those who are foolish enough to live that way, practically neglecting their children the instruction they need, the discipline they need, the comfort, the care, and the guidance that they need. They need the gospel to be taught to them. They need to be shown how great God is. They need to be shown their sin. They need to be taught what it means to be saved by grace. They need to be taught what it means to trust in and to depend upon God. What it means to walk in His ways. Not because that's a duty, and not because that's a burden, because that's a wonderful privilege. This is a beautiful home. A home where God is the center, where He's feared by the husband and father who for God's sake loves and leads his wife and his children. Where the wife fears God, helps and assists her husband and devotes herself to the family and children. Where the children are subject to their parents and fear and love the Lord too. This is a family that is truly blessed. Now that blessing, the blessedness of this home, is to be found in the love and the favor of God's grace. It is not to be found in outward things, not to be found in earthly circumstances. We've seen that already in the psalm, but now it's important for us to see the practical importance of this. We must not think that blessings are found in things because that will be destructive in the times of affliction and sorrow for our comfort. Our comfort will be taken away. By reason of sin, this is reality now. Marriage is not a fairy tale. The young couple might think that when they get married. Everything will work out because we love each other so much. And when we have children, we know what to do with them. And before they have children, they're free to dispense advice to others who do have children because they have it all figured out. But this is real. Troubles come. Sorrows. Then what? Well, if we buy into the common grace or the common blessing philosophy that God blesses all, including the wicked, when we observe the wicked prospering and when we observe ourselves and other righteous people suffering, we might think, God's blessing them but not me. And then it's very practically important that we understand this. No, God's blessing does not depend upon circumstances. God's blessing is not conditional. It's not measured in things. God's blessing is measured in His attitude and in His love and favor to His people. In our afflictions, He's there to assist us and to bless us. And He always curses the wicked. But this is important for another practical reason, not only for our comfort, but also for holiness. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. If we become convinced that God blesses the wicked, then what motivation will we have in our marriage to serve the Lord, to follow His commandments? And what motivation will we have to teach our children? You say no to sin. You don't walk in the ways of the world. You don't watch those television shows and those movies. You don't behave in that way. If God blesses the wicked. But God's blessing is particular. It is for His elect alone, experienced in the way of holiness. Those who fear God and walk in His ways. And His blessing, then, is not a big house, high-paying job, scholarship to the college of your choice. Not these things, but it's simply His love. God saying to the God-fearing man and his wife and children, I'm with you and I'm for you. And I will indeed be with you in all of your afflictions, working them in all things for your good and salvation. Particularly, the psalm applies this to the work of the man. Outside of the home, for the sake of the home. And to the work of the wife and the mother in the home too. God is saying, do you understand this? All that that man does that does not fear me is useless. All that that man does that does not fear me, whether he have a job that is a menial job or whether he have what is considered a high-powered job, it's going to come to nothing because there's no eternal profit for him. My curse is upon him. But what a blessing. What a joy for the believer, the believing man, the believing woman, the believing child, working outside of the home, in the home, in the school. My work is important. My work is not only for these earthly things, these tangible things that we can see, but my work is for the glory of God. And under the blessing of God is profitable for me. And so you think also of marriage. No, the teaching of Scripture is marriage is not an automatic blessing, not an automatic source of happiness. Think of all of the people in the world and how without God's blessing their marriages are miserable. They went out of their marriages. They find no happiness in marriage. God says to the God-fearing man, I'm not only going to give you the gift of a wife, but the gift of my blessing too, so that your marriage will be for your happiness, for your enjoyment. Fear me when you seek a wife. Fear me in your married life with your wife, and I will work that for your spiritual good. And that's what the God-fearing man experiences. He begins to see that his wife is needed. He loves her not only because of all of the earthly things she does for him, but he recognizes how much spiritual good this fruitful vine is for him. She keeps him humble. She keeps him centered on God. As they pray together, they experience the grace of life with each other. As they read God's Word together, this God-fearing man experiences in his relationship with his wife what no unbeliever can ever experience. He experiences with her the fellowship of God's covenant in salvation, in a way that is enriched by his relationship with his God-fearing wife. And then he experiences the reality of what Solomon says. She's worth more to me than rubies. She's worth more to me than a palace. This wife that God has gifted to me. Do you understand too? Children are not an automatic blessing. We know from the Proverbs that a contentious wife can be a misery to a man. We know from the Proverbs too that children can be a shame, an embarrassment to parents, a source of great grief and trouble. God says to the God-fearing man, I'll give you olive plants. Now we know in the light of the rest of Scripture, that's not a promise of God to save all of the children of believers. He doesn't promise that. But when God speaks of them as olive plants, God is saying, I will remember my covenant, I will remember my promise to be a God to you and to your children. I will save your children who are my elect in the way of your fearing me, in the way of your teaching them the gospel, in the way of your disciplining and instructing them, I will give you a joy that no unbelieving father or mother will ever experience. The joy of you seeing faith come to expression. The joy of you being able to say about your young children, they fear God. The joy of you being able to say about your teenage children, they walk in God's ways. They love Him and serve Him. The joy of seeing them marry in the Lord. The joy of seeing them mature to the point where they can be independent, leave your home. And then when they establish a home, they say, I want the same God-fearing home that my parents had too. What a blessing that is. That's part of the theme of Psalm 127 and 128. That the children that God gives to believing parents enrich their joy of salvation through Jesus Christ. This kind of family, we ought to know, is beautiful. And because this kind of family is a blessing of God, we ought to know it is a gift from God. To be appreciated, not to be taken for granted. You don't do that, do you, husbands? Take for granted your God-given wife who's a fruitful vine? You don't nurture bitterness or anger in your hearts towards her, do you? You don't take her for granted, do you? You see that she is a great gift. And you wives, you don't take for granted your God-fearing husbands, do you? And you don't take for granted your children as God-fearing parents, I hope. God creates, He did create the family. He creates every one of our families. And then He adds His blessing to create our families as God-fearing families. And we ought to pause this morning and from time to time and ask, why? Why did God give me a God-fearing spouse? Why did God put me in a God-fearing home with God-fearing parents? I didn't deserve any of that. What a blessing. What a blessing. It's only by God's grace. Our calling then is very clear. There's many things that we could say about the calling this morning. The calling is to fear God as men and women and children. And the calling is to live our life in the family in the fear of God. The calling is to appreciate, to love, to care for one another in our Christian families. But this morning I want to point out that it all comes down to the worship of God. In verse 3, we're told, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. This is important. The table in the home. The table in the Old Testament, even the table now in the New Testament. That's a place not only for the family to gather together, to be together. That's a place not only for the family to eat with each other, to fellowship with each other. This psalm is establishing for us the importance of the table as the place for family worship. The God-fearing family belongs to Zion, to the church. The God-fearing family, therefore, does assemble with the rest of God's people for the public worship of God's name. Psalm 128 here requires family worship. There's a description here, and this description is authoritative. It's not only wisdom for you and me to apply this to our family life, but the Word of God is this. You must apply this to your family life. There must be family worship. And the Father must exercise His headship here. He must say, we will come together as a family to worship Jehovah. This is not an option for me, for my wife, or for my children. But then he must also say this, and try to teach this. This is not only a requirement, but by example, he must show his wife and his children, this is where I want to be. There's no place I'd rather be than with my family worshiping the Lord God. That means that the exception, not the rule, the exception is that someone is missing from the family table for family worship. The Father's there. He's not regularly at work. He's not regularly playing softball or some other sport. He's not sitting at the bar. But he's with his family, sitting as the head, to lead his family in the worship of the Lord God. And his wife is there, sitting with her husband, ruling with her husband over the family, and the children are there too. So that they as a family may give expression to this. God is the center of our home. They may encourage each other in carrying that out every day. Instruct each other. Oh yes, the parents learn from their children at that table too. Guide each other. Give advice and counsel and comfort each other in each other's spiritual needs. This is something that is so serious that if a young family begins their life together without buying a table and then using that table to worship God, but rather mealtime is a time to gather around the TV, I fear they are not going to enjoy God's blessing in their family, in their home life. And if a more established family has fallen into the same thing, there's no set time, regularly, daily, for the worship of God. You have reason to wonder, is this a God-blessed family? There's problems in this home. This is the family, blessed of God. Behold, this is the man who fears God, who with his wife and with his children, daily, regularly, gather together at the table to worship God then, and then to go out from that table to worship God and fear Him and walk in His ways and all that they do. This is to be a pattern for us. You want happiness in your marriage and your family. Apply Psalm 128. This is the happy family. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for creating marriage and adding Thy blessing to our marriages, for creating the family, for adding Thy blessing to our families too, that we may have a joy that is unspeakable, that we may have contentment, satisfaction, fulfillment in this, that we know Thee as our God, and our ever-present helper. We pray, Father, then, that Thou wilt lead us in the way of wisdom, to obey Thy word, to obey all Thy commandments, but then to obey Thy word concerning the life of the home and the family. And may we indeed experience in our families and then in our church family all the blessings of Thy covenant and salvation in Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we see that extended to our children, to our children's children. Amen.